Hot 91's All Things Property with Direct Collective.
Good morning, you're Jade Harrison here from Hot 91 and Mel Kayley from Direct Collective. All Things Property, we are going to dive into the big one here today, Mel.
Yes, very exciting.
This is what it's all about. It is the Australian dream to be able to just sort of, you know, retire early and live off the incredible property portfolio that you have built along the way. You know, everybody kind of aspires to do that. But it seems overwhelming and it seems like a tricky feat. Okay, so this is why we want to tackle this one head on, Mel. This is your jam. This is where you're at your best.
Yep.
So where do we start? Because I know that some people get overwhelmed and feel like they're not ready for that conversation because they don't have any assets, they don't have any money at the moment, they don't have anything deposit saved or anything like that. How soon is too soon?
Look, it's never too soon. One of the biggest challenges in making money is understanding the difference between, you know, saving, earning, and actually making or creating money. And we don't get taught it at school. We're not taught it at university. You know, if it comes through family or there's other ways we learn. So firstly, it's about understanding that we don't generally have a conversation in the community about how you actually make or create money. When it comes to property, everyone's got an opinion on property. And so I'll delve into that in a little bit. But it's about trying to separate the two and getting the information that you need that will help you to understand where you're starting, where you can go, and what those steps might be.
And we have spoken in previous weeks, actually, which you can see also here in this extended chat on hot91.com.au in the All Things Property section, about what to do when you feel like you can't do anything. And you have given some great insight into some of the moves that people can make in this market when they may not have a big deposit and all of those sorts of things. So definitely check that out if you're listening and that's sort of where you sit. Talk to me, though, about the, you know, let's just take into consideration perhaps a bit of a case study here for an everyday family, raising a young family on the Sunshine Coast. They might, for instance, own their own home or are paying off their own home. Where do they start, Mel? What are the do's and don'ts? I know it's a massive question and I will just open the floor to you. If someone sat down with you face to face right now and said, this is what I've got, I'm paying off my family home, how do I make moves? Because I don't want to just keep paying this off for 25 years. Get to the age of 65, and that's great. I've got my family home. But how do I retire? I don't have an income. What moves do I make now?
Well, that's a really good start position, and I would love it if someone walked through the door and said that. Often not how the conversation goes, though. But look, it's actually really specific to individuals. And so what I might do is just give you a few of the key tips, and then we can talk strategy in detail. I think if we can just step higher level for a second, because I think we've got to understand the complexity and the challenge around getting it right. Like I said, you go to a barbecue, everyone's got an opinion on property. The next question to ask them is how many have been successful at making money out of property.
Mm.
So look, the stats are that currently 3% of the population retire independently wealthy. Okay, so what that means is that more than 90% of the people you're talking to don't have the right answers. Okay, so to get the outcome that 3% of people do, you've got to think and do like 3% of the people. So the idea is that we want to move as far along that line and towards that 3% as we can.
Are you in the 3%, Mel?
I certainly hope so.
I'm pretty sure you are.
So a couple of things to keep in mind when it comes to property investing is that the ATO tells us that only 7% of the population are property investors. And so when we talk macro, and we're looking at, you know, the value of property and how, you know, what you need for to retire independently wealthy, you need around 5 properties. The challenge with that is 71% of all property investors only have one. So they get stuck. They
right.
don't know where to go next.
Interesting.
So 1.2% of the population have 2 or more. 0.4% of the population have 3 or more. 0.2%, 4 or more. But that 5 or more, that magic number, is 0.002%.
You know, I'm going to ask you why.
There's lots of reasons. Education, information, access, affordability, funding. There's a whole range of things. And so done really well. You actually only need 3 properties over, you know, a sort of a 10 to 15 year period of the right properties. And we can talk about some of that. But it really comes down to understanding. Okay, so there's probably 7 key tips to property investing that apply to everyone before we get into their individual circumstances. So the first one is about mindset. Okay, so you've got to think about property not as somewhere where you live, but actually as a financial asset, a vehicle, okay? Because we keep saying, oh, I wouldn't live there, so therefore I wouldn't buy it. That doesn't mean that it's not going to perform. In fact, it could be the opposite. But there's a reason we do that, and that reason comes down to the first two rules. So these are the first two rules of business, first two rules of property investing, first two rules of life. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Okay. So rule number one is don't fool yourself. Rule number two is you're the easiest person to fool.
Okay. I rolled my eyes on both of those.
All right. So the reason we have to apply those rules is what happens is when we have a lack of knowledge about something, it creates an emotion called fear. And we know if we're going to make money, we have to take risks. We have to step out. We have to act. And so we're to overcome this emotion called fear so that we have the courage to act, we will justify things to ourselves. And so the lack of knowledge becomes back to justification. And one of the biggest challenges that we see in property investing is, and the Commonwealth Bank did a survey a few years ago, and it was a great survey. They were basically looking at how they could win more mortgages.
of course they were.
but when you actually delved into the investor section, it said 100% of the survey sample had great financial reasons for starting their investment journey, you know, around retirement, around all of these things. But the 100% of the sample actually had one emotive reason for their final purchase decision, and that emotion was pride. They felt good about it. They felt smarter about it. They felt that, like they'd fixed their financial future. And so this is what happens is we actually put an emotion over because we've lacked that gap. We started out with the best intent, but we don't know how to get there. And so it comes back to that very, very small percentage of getting stuck. And so one of the things that we need to understand about property is that, and this is one of the other key points, is that property isn't the answer. It's just the vehicle. And strategy needs to come first because every property in building your portfolio will either enable or limit what you do next. So understanding how that some people need more cash flow, more serviceability. So a high yielding property works better for them. Some people are happy to just, you know, they've got great serviceability, great income. They're just going for the growth profile. Mm. So it's different for everybody in their circumstances and what they're looking for. So anyone who comes to you and says, this is the property, it's a great investment property, how do you know? Without understanding their circumstances, how do you know it's actually right for them?
Mm, I understand, because everyone does have different financial circumstances.
Yeah. Mm. And so just tipping back to that mindset point for a second, you've got to stop listening to the barbecues, you've got to stop reading the headlines because that isn't going to help you. You've got to get into what is right for me. So coming back to then the property, and that property will either enable or limit your strategy, your outcome. It's all around the strategy. So strategy first. What is it you're trying to achieve? You know, I've seen so many people sell investment properties when they should have been holding because they just panicked because they didn't have a strategy in place. They just bought a property and thought, you know, the world is ending, the world is changing, markets are crashing, and market crashes are actually really good for property prices. So they sell their properties because they're fearful. Because a lack of knowledge creates fear. But if you built it on a strategy, it doesn't really matter what's happening. You know what you're doing longer term. You know why you've done it. And that will continue to empower what you do. See, we've got this ability to underestimate what we can see and achieve in 12 months. Overestimate what we can see and achieve in 12 months, but underestimate what can be achieved over in 5 and 10 years. And so property prices don't, rise consistently in one year to the next. You know, it's about riding out the market. But when you've invested in the right asset in the right location for the right reasons around your strategy, you've just got to give it the time. Okay.
Someone once told me it's not timing the market, it's time in the market, which I think is good when it comes to property.
100%.
Holding. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So timing can help. You can get lucky.
Yeah, you can absolutely get lucky. Yeah.
But the harder you work, the luckier you get. So and that comes back to a point is we can't know everything. You know, you can't possibly know. You've got so many buttons in front of you, Jade. I don't know what a single one of them does.
It's like flying a plane over here, Mal.
That's right. But for you, it's easy because knowledge is cumulative. Mm. And so when we're investing, we've got to keep that in mind, is that the more you do, the more you'll learn. The more you learn, the more you'll do. So it's about leveraging learning. It's about leveraging experience and proven results. So it's about tapping into every aspect. And part of that is actually building your team. Because if you think about you're trying to achieve 5 investment properties, say, that's 0.002% of the population. then how many finance brokers have actually had that experience? You know, lots, they're all good at, you know, helping someone get into their home or their first home, for example, but not many people have had to delve into that strategy. Keep in mind, funding is the glue.
Mm.
So getting that right broker. You know, going to...
So do you talk to, like, just say someone comes to you and they've got their broker that they use. Do you have your own team, or can you work with other people, or how does it work?
Yeah, we don't have brokers. And what we try and do is recommend people that we know can help in that circumstance.
So
if they've got if they've got a broker, then we just ask to be able to speak to that broker, because what we want to do is to be able to help them. But at the end of the day, it's about getting that individual the right outcome, getting the glue, because the wrong lending structure can limit what you do next as well. And so might be a need for multiple banks, not one bank. There's a lot of complexity in that. So bringing that right part of the team in, no different to an accountant. You know, you can't just walk into the shopping centre with a 5-property portfolio and sit down at the desk at the tax time and expect that they're going to be a good property accountant and understand everything. You might get lucky.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, it's about getting a good property accountant, because once you get to a certain level of property in your own name, or whether it be in a trust, you know, you've got land tax implications. So strategy is also about how we minimise tax. And so, you know, having a good accountant, a good solicitor. So someone might be a good solicitor that you know, but they might not have done a lot of conveyancing, and that can really complicate things. Or they might be a good, they might just not have experience with off the plan, or they might have a different view about off the plan. And what that can do is scare people away, and it can undermine and confuse people. And so it's just about building a team of people who are really good at what you need to do to build around your strategy once you've got that strategy set. So leveraging knowledge, and then it comes back to a property expert. You know, a local real estate agent is not a property expert. They might be an expert in that area, and they might be an expert at selling at that property, but their job is to work against you, not for you.
They're working for the seller.
That's right. You know, so same as marketers, and you know, and educators are often just that. And so that's a really challenging skill set to find, because essentially, you know, it's a trust relationship. You're trusting them with your financial future and the information that they're providing for you to fill that knowledge gap. So knowledge and experience in building your teams are a really important key as well.
And obviously you help with that, because that can sound overwhelming to some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, how am I supposed to get that person who's my accountant right, and maybe he's not right, and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, they come to you and they sit down. So the first thing really is to come and see you and to start to get that strategy in place, and then you can help assist with those things. I'm assuming, am I right on the right track here?
100%. Okay. And so, gratuitous plug here. One of the things that our clients often say to us is you need to tell people what you really do. Because building a property portfolio isn't about property. It's about a whole of life solution about how you approach your financial management, and how you approach creating money, and building that team to get that. And so those foundations are what is key. And so sitting down with someone who has that ability to empower your outcomes. You know, so what we do is providing all that information, that access and the sourcing and the due diligence. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to the individual making a choice. And so being able to make the right choice, being able to step out to act, as we say, it's not about doing it out of pride or out of failing the first two rules. It's about empowered with knowledge in every aspect as to how to move forward.
Mel, question here. Once you sort of set a strategy in place, I mean, people's situations change, their lifestyles change, their income fluctuates with the new jobs and careers that they go on and do. How much does a strategy adapt and change over time? Does it or does it not? Is it resilient? Do you stick to it? This is the plan and you do not stray from that? Or is it flexible? And
yeah, 100%. So it's like writing a business plan, you know, and property investing is more like building a business than it is straight investing in equities, for example. So that business plan, when you write a business plan, you don't then write it and then stick it on the shelf, you know, because markets change and COVID's happened and, you know, all of these these things.
Really?
Right?
So I'm sitting here going, that's exactly what I did. I wrote it and left it on the computer.
So property investing is the same. You know, your life changes and things happening. So one of the things that we focus on is it's not about how much cash you've got to put in. It's about, so one of the principles is leverage is actually really important, because as soon as you put cash into a property, whose money is it, yours or the bank's? You know, so So you
good question.
Exactly. You've got to go then ask for it back.
Yeah.
So protecting cash is about protecting your risk of life changes. Okay, so it's when you've got cash to access. So teaching discipline is key in how we structure things and with the broker and using offset accounts and redraws and a whole range of other things. But it's about understanding that life will happen on a journey. And so what do we need to do to put in some risk mitigation? And so one of the other keys, so leverage is one of the other keys. Diversity is a key because part of building diversity, you might have the best opportunity and you could buy two of these things that are fantastic. And but down the track, if something happens in life and you've got two of them, they might have great equity in, but you need to liquidate something quickly. You've really only got one thing to sell because otherwise you're competing against yourself. And so creating diversity is actually about de-risking your strategy, because if you've got to sell something quickly because of a life circumstance, you want to have two very different products in the market to two very different buyers so that one sells and then you can take the other one off the market, for example. So
not have your eggs all in one basket,
exactly.
So to speak.
Very, very basic terms, but that's part of what you need to look at. And that's why it has to be a very individual thing and why it can't be just about property. It's got to be about the individual, where you're going, what your journey looks like, and then navigating a pathway to get there.
It's very important, just even with what you're saying there, you can see why you do need to get a strategy that is, it's not a cookie cutter solution.
No.
You can't just Google this stuff and come up with it. You can read every book you like, but you're right, everyone's circumstances are so different. So sitting down with someone like yourself that will listen and sort of look at the structure that you have and then develop a strategy that suits, I guess it's not a one size fits all, is it?
Not at all.
Otherwise, we'd all do it.
Exactly.
It'd just be, yeah.
And it's the same thing about you're saying about books. Oftentimes, the books you're reading are out of date.
I was going to say, by the time they're printed, they're out of date.
That's right. Mm. And it's not. It still doesn't make it apply to you as an individual.
But there's definitely got to be some underlying principles that remain the same.
100%. Yeah. So it's all about doing the learning and expanding your knowledge, because that reduces your risk and gives you scope to do more. The more you learn, the more you do.
Mm.
You know, so it's about creating that opportunity because of your ability. Because one of the key things that we look at in mindset is actually risk profile. Because some people we need to rein in because they're trying to do too much. But other people, part of their risk is they're so fearful that they can't do anything. And so it's about showing them the way and finding that balance between the two.
And I know this is a very general question, but I will ask it anyway. For someone that wants to start a strategy and start to build a property portfolio, I know everything is independently, you know, judged on their particular situation, but what is a realistic time frame, would you say, in years for someone to enter the market and build a decent portfolio? Are we talking 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? I know it's probably not, there's probably not one answer, but just to give an idea of time frames, like...
Yeah, look, you really need about 5 years at least in the market, and depending on the opportunity. The Sunshine Coast, if you know, the opportunity now means that you can achieve a lot more in 5 years than what you could have done in the last 10 probably. But look, we really look at a 10-year horizon, and so then it comes back to the individual. Some people can achieve incredible things in 5 years, but that's because they've got a start position that allows them to accelerate. Because it's really about that there's three phases. You know, the first phase is the accumulation phase, the second phase is hold and manage, and the third phase is harvest. The hardest phase is accumulation.
Mm.
And so that really comes down to, because the more properties you get, the harder it is to get lending, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a lot of complexity in how you do that. So it really is about the start position and how long it takes to acquire portfolio, because you do need growth. You know, we're seeing a huge amount of growth on the Sunshine Coast at the moment. But, and, you know, if you look in 2003 in Brisbane, the market rose 96% in 1 year. So these things aren't out of the question. But it's about understanding that it's not going to happen overnight and how you target and maximise those opportunities. But also, you know, what is it that you need? What if the market doesn't keep rising? You know, what is the cash flow position? How long are we prepared to hold property for? You know, there's a lot of those questions that need to be answered.
Oh, Mel, thank you so much. Look, I know we could talk and talk forever. It's a very interesting topic. I think a lot of people aspire to create a property portfolio for themselves. Mel Cayley from Direct Collective. Guys, go and see Mel. I think you can have coffee. You'll have a coffee with them.
I will.
No obligation. Just do it. Head along, get some insight. But thank you so much for your time on this topic.
My pleasure.
For more on Hot 91's All Things Property with Direct Collective, head to hot91.com.au.